library used.
Is that okay? Thank you. I often get criticised because I walk around so much and people get dizzy and they're watching me. So sometimes I sit down and I'll just pretend I'm one of the Conservative candidates, and you can you can question me. Do you ever feel or wonder, why are you here? What's the purpose of your life in this big world, the 7.2 or 0.3 million, billion? Do you ever think you're insignificant, it doesn't matter? Or how could God be really bothered about you? Well, this story's for you. It's a true story. God has a plan. He has a big plan. But that big plan has multiple wee parts that are absolutely essential. And you are one of these parts for his plan. And Moses, I think this is not responding, Matt. Next slide, thanks. Moses, Moses, I'll read the first verse to you. There we are, cool. Whew. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Jethro was his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I have a wicked sense of humour, because as soon as I read this, I think back 60 years to when I was a wee boy sitting in a pew in church and reading the King James Version, which says, he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And I can remember nudging my friend, and I'd in kinks over this while a man was preaching a sermon. So just get your laugh over now. Moses, 80 years before, was born to Amram and his wife. We know very little about them, but what we do know is that they hid Moses because the threat was from the Egyptian Pharaoh that every male child would be killed, thrown into the Nile and drowned. Ethnic cleansing in a mass way. They hid him, and then you know the story. His mum made a wee basket for him when he was a few months old and let it into the Nile, and the daughter of Pharaoh found him. And Moses' sister had been there, planted there, and said, I can find a Hebrew mother who will look after this boy, which was, of course, Moses' mother. And he was brought up by his own mum, and he heard all the stories of the Hebrew people about God, about Jacob, about Abraham, about Isaac. And he believed in God. But, of course, God's people at that time were slaves in Egypt. And Moses tried to do something about it, and he killed an Egyptian that was hurting, that was beating one of his own people. And he was forced to flee from Egypt at the age of 40. 40 years old. Fled from the palace where he'd been brought up once his mum had weaned him, into the desert. And there he meets Jethro and his daughters, and he marries into that family, and he has his own sons. What was he thinking? What was he thinking after 40 years being a shepherd, having been in the palace and brought up in the palace in Egypt? Was he thinking, this is it? This is what it's going to be the rest of my life? We are not given an insight into that. And here he was, in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden, next slide, thanks Matt, it's not responding, I think. an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. It's not unusual in the desert for bushes to be self-ignite. But what was strange was that the bush kept burning and kept burning and kept burning. And so he's looking at this and he thinks, my goodness. And off he goes to have a wee look, he goes closer. Why was it not burning up? And when the Lord saw, the word angel of the Lord in the previous verse, angel of the Lord just means the Lord himself, really. But when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, he called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, yeah, here I am, I'm here. Don't come any closer. You've probably heard this story 100 times, but just be there. Pretend you're Moses. Take off your sandals. I'm not asking you to physically do that just now. But take off your sandals. Why? Because that's a sign of reverence in the presence of God. The land you're standing on, the ground you're standing on, is holy. Because God is here. I am the God of your father Amram. I'm his God. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at that, Moses hid his face because he was fearful that he was standing in the presence of the Creator God. It's an amazing experience. Talk to God this morning. Did he not meet with you? Was he not there? Yes, he was there. And he said to you this morning, whatever your name is, he called your name and he said, are you here? Are you listening to me? I am the God of all the generations. I am the eternal God. Come close. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God had been watching the circumstances of his people at the other side of the desert. His people enslaved. And he says, I've seen. I've heard. And I love them and I'm concerned for them. Do you think the Lord cares for the two teachers we've just heard about who have been bereaved? Do you think he cares for those who are ill? And those who are caring for those who are ill? Do you think he cares for your mother or father, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, nephew, niece, grandson, granddaughter? Do you think he cares? Of course he does. Do you think he cares for you? Are you in a situation you wish you weren't in? Do you feel trapped like the Israeli people were? God sees. God hears. He hears your silent cry. The silent cry that sometimes comes into church, when you come into church, people ask, how are you doing? Fine. And actually inside your heart's breaking. He hears, he knows. And he is concerned, deeply concerned for those that you know are suffering and trouble and for you. And he says, because of that I have come down. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And to bring them up. I have come down to bring them up into a land that's good and spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey, an abundant land, full of everything you need. And when God saw the trouble we were in, he came down. Jesus came down, God in human form, that he might bring us up to him. Isn't that pure dead brilliant? God came down. And I've come all this way from space, Moses, to meet with you. After all these years, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are treating them and oppressing them. So now, Moses, you go. You go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now you go. You and I trundle through life and we do the routine things. We get up in the morning, we make a breakfast or have our breakfast made for us. We eat it and then we go to work if we work. And we do the routine tasks every day. And we sometimes feel, what's the point? And all the time God is saying each morning, I'm here. I have come down. That you might help to bring people up. There you go. Go to that person you met this morning. We stayed in a B&B last night in Granton, and we hadn't been there for a few years, and this morning we met the husband who owns the B&B, and he's had his leg amputated since we last met him. Does God care for him? Of course he does. And the Lord says, show compassion. Show that you care and pray. Now go. Who do you know that's in trouble? Who do you know that's in fear and anxious? Who do you know that's upset? Who do you know that's looking for guidance about the next step in their career or their job? Who do you know that's worried about their family or friends? Then go. Pray for them. And go and help them. God has come down himself. And he says, now you go and do the work I'm asking you to do. It can be very simple. Just that phone call. That visit. And God said, I will be with you. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out to Egypt? Lord, I can't do this. I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary girl. I can't do this. What will I see when I go? How will I tackle it? What will I see what will I say after the first sentence is over? Just go. Just go. And God said, Listen to this. I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. This will be the sign that I am really God, that this God, the God of the universe, is sending you. What's the sign? That actually you will come back here and you will bring the people out of Egypt and you will worship God with them on this mountain. So the Lord is saying, trust me, you need to trust me here. Because the way that you're going to be convinced that I am really God is when you stand here again, but this time with my people worshipping me. But you've got to take that first step of faith. You've got to start going down to Egypt again, to where you ran away from. And go and do what I ask you to do. And that's the way God works, you know. He says, trust me, take that step. Even if you're fearful, take that step. Trust me, and I will confirm it's me when you go. And more than that, I will be with you. I, the everlasting God, will be with you. You know, that is the most important phrase that you can ever hear in this world, in any part of your life, that the eternal God is with you. Do you believe that? Never forget that. He is with you. And Moses says, what if when I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father sent me to you, and they ask me, what's this God's name? What shall I say? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am the God who always has been, and I will be who I will be. I am the all-sufficient God who can meet every need of every person in the whole of creation. If somebody is needing guidance, I can be their guide. If somebody is needing their forgiveness, my forgiveness, I can bring forgiveness. If somebody is wanting freedom from shame, I can take the shame from them. If somebody is wanting healed spiritually or physically, I am able to do that. If somebody is wanting freedom from anxiety, I am their peace. I am the shepherd God. I am whatever you need. I am. Do you understand the awesomeness of that? And I don't know what your need is, but I've lived long enough among Christian people to know that most Christians go about fearful and uncertain and unsure, and yet the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am, and I am with you. With you. Will you please understand that? Because that's what he's saying to you this morning on the 22nd, is it the 22nd or 23rd? It doesn't matter. I will be, whatever. 2019 anyway. I've got the year. Okay. He is with you. I am. And say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, these people they had heard about who had been wonderful men and saints of God. And they're sitting in slavery in Egypt and they're thinking, where is this God? Why has he changed? And he's saying, I'm not changed. I'm the same God. I'm the same God. And that same God, people, has sent me to you. And you know, I believe that every person who stands on this platform, who's anointed by God and sent to preach here, is God speaking to you. If they're open to God's Spirit, he is speaking to you through them. And just this morning, I'm not claiming anything on my own, but God is sending me to tell you a message this morning, saying, I'm with you. This is my name forever. It's an eternal name. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. It does not change. I do not change. And Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? What if they say, don't talk rubbish, Moses? The Lord never appeared to you. You just saw a burning bush here. You're having dreams. That in your hand, and he had a great big staff in his hand, a shepherd's staff. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. And when he threw it on the ground, it became a snake, and he ran from it. And the Lord said, pick it up again, take it by the tail. He reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff again. And this, says the Lord, is so that they may believe. They may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, again he says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to you. And that's not all, says the Lord. He said, put your hand inside your cloak. When he did that and he took it out, his skin was leprous. comes white as snow. Put it back in again, and it came out clean the second time, restored again. And the Lord says, if they don't believe the first sign of the snake, then they will believe the second. They may believe, but if you do not believe, they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the river Nile when you're there and pour it on the dry ground and it will turn into blood. And the Lord gave him signs to show. And Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I've never actually been very good at speaking. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Now, I don't know what Moses meant. I don't know whether he did have a speech impediment or whether he just wasn't quick thinking. But he did not feel up to the task. Now, which one of us feels up to the task of living our lives honoring the Lord? Not one of us. Not one of us. But the Lord is the answer for that too. He said, who gave human beings their mouth? I gave you your mouth, Moses. I gave you your tongue. Who makes the part of your body? Who gives sight or makes blind? Is it not I, the Lord? The Lord. Now go. Just go. And I will help you speak and teach you what to say. I remember not long after I came back to the Lord, when I was in my mid-30s, one of the elders in our church took very unwell with cancer and was dying. And I had this inner urge to go and see him. I'd never ever done a pastoral visit in my life. I didn't know what to do. But I went. And I can remember going to the door of this. He was a godly man, a great teacher of God's word. And I looked up to him. He was like a hero to me. Heart was going. My palms were sweating. What do I say to this man who is dying? What words do I say? As soon as I sat with him, I didn't have any problem. The Lord just gave me what to say. And we read and we talked, we read the scriptures and we prayed. Just go. Just go. Somebody, those of you who work in the trust, is there somebody in the trust that's really worried or anxious or upset just now? And you know about it, but you haven't really prayed for them. You haven't really gone to speak to them. Then before today's out, go and speak to them and say, look, I just want to tell you, I'm praying for them. Sit with them. Pray with them. Is there somebody, your neighbours? Go and see them. Pray for them. Lift them up in God's strength. And Moses said again, oh, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. Anybody else, Lord. Anybody but me. And that's sometimes our reaction, isn't it? Anybody but me. And then the Lord was getting a bit angry at Moses. But he had already planned. He says, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well, says the Lord. He is already on his way to meet you. God had the plan. It was all in hand. And you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. So what I want you to do, Moses, is here's Aaron. You're Aaron for 2 minutes. Here is what I want you to say to Pharaoh, Aaron. And Aaron then goes and says to Pharaoh, since he's more articulate and can speak better, and he says, I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. I will tell you the next step. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. So you hear from me, says God to Moses, and you transmit that to Aaron, and he will transmit it to the people and to Pharaoh. Just do it. I will be with you. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs. Take the gifts I have given you in your hand. And so the Lord this morning in the backside of Nethy Ridge. Meets you. Do you believe that? He meets you. And he says, I know all about the troubles. And I love you. And I love these people you're anxious for. And I know your circumstances. And I know you think your life's not going to change. But listen, I'm here. And let me tell you, I am with you. I have come down to lift you up. And so when you go out the door of this church, you will be lifted up. And I want you to go and encourage somebody else. For me, says the Lord. Take your staff, take the gifts I have given you with you. Go in my strength. And the wee afterthought is just this. So Moses took his wife, his sons, put them on a donkey and started back. Will you start this morning in God's strength to do what he asks, knowing that he is with you? How wonderful that is. And look at the last wee sentence here. He took not Moses' staff, but the staff of God with him. God transformed that staff of Moses into his staff. And if you go, he takes an ordinary human being like you and me and makes us God's agents, filled with him to help others. Isn't that pure day brilliant? Let's pray.